All right. We've been talking about following Jesus, and we've talked about our mission statement here. And if you wouldn't mind reading it with me, we'll put up on the board here. The mission statement here at Living Faith Fellowship is to make, read it with me if you would, make devoted followers of Jesus in community empowered by the Holy Spirit. Followers of Jesus, not just Christians. Everybody calls himself a Christian. But it's those that follow Jesus and do what he did that really are walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. We have many people that say certain things. Just because you say something doesn't mean that's what you are. It's easy to say it, but what you do is what you are. And so I want to continue on this vein. We've talked about last week, we talked about qualify to follow. We must qualify to follow Jesus deeper. Followers who qualify get in on his secrets and that God sees in secret, whether it be good or bad, and he rewards us appropriately. And if you want all the messages that we've been going through in this series, you're welcome to get them at livingfaithfellowship.com. And we thank you for all those who are watching live streaming this morning. So we're glad you're here. The title of the message this morning is Serving the Servant. Serving the Servant. And the servant of all was Jesus Christ. But he asked us to serve the servant. I want to read this scripture, and if you wouldn't mind, and if you can, please stand, and let's read the Word of God together that we're going to be getting into in John 12, 23 through 26. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Excuse me. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." Thank you, Lord, for your word. Go ahead and be seated. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. That's the operative word we've been talking about. Following Jesus. Following Jesus. And I want to give an idea of what's happening in the scripture. I want to give a little background. I'm going to go kind of before this right here, before what happened here, a few verses back, starting in John verse 20, chapter 12, verse 20. And it says, "Now there were certain Greeks among those who came to worship at the feast." This is the Passover, and it's right before Jesus is going to die. Right before he's going to wash the disciples' feet here, and he's going to go through all the Passover things. They're going to go through the Garden of Gethsemane. He's going to be betrayed. He's going to be beaten and whipped. He's going to be placed upon that tree, that cross, and he's going to die for the sins of the world. And right before that, there's this interchange that's happening. It's in that Passion Week. Just maybe a few days before he finally gives up his life. And there were certain Greeks among those who came to worship him at the feast. It says here, "Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.'" Sir, we wish to see Jesus. They came to Philip because Philip is a Greek name, and these are Greeks, and they're coming to see Jesus. So he wanted to kind of get on the inside, so they looked up a Greek to see if he could get them in with a private conversation, with an interview, if you will, with Jesus Christ. These Greeks are coming from the east. From the west, they're coming in, and I thought it very interesting. These men from the west represent at the end of Christ's life what the wise men from the east represented at the beginning. They came to see Jesus. The Magi came from the east to see Jesus at his very birth. And here at the end of his life, the Greeks are coming from the west. They're coming and they say they want to see Jesus. And in the span of time that Jesus had from east to west, he literally changes the whole world. The whole world knows about Jesus in the time frame that he was here for 33 and a half years, from east to west, from wise men to Greeks. They were coming to see Jesus, coming to see this Messiah, this King of the Jews, this one who's to change the whole world. He has a worldwide impact. And Jesus' response is here. Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus, and here's Jesus' response. But Jesus answered them. They're coming to see Jesus, and here's what Jesus answers them. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. The cross must come before Greeks can really come to understand and know Jesus Christ. The cross must come. He's talking about his own death. Hey, I'm going to die. I'm going to go into the ground, but I'm going to come back with much fruitfulness. If I go to that cross, if I die on that tree, my death will spring forth life that will be multiplied throughout the world. And indeed it was. And indeed it is today. His death allowed us to have eternal life. And here's what he's talking about himself here. That he's going to go to the ground. He's going to die. He's going to go into the grave, but he's not going to stay there. He's going to come out and he's going to produce multiple fruit. He was saying, for the Greeks to benefit from me, I must die. And if I die, I will open up heaven and I will multiply my effect. It goes on to say, he who loves his life will lose it. Now he's speaking to us. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life, notice what he says here, in this world. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. But didn't Jesus come to bring us life? And we're supposed to hate our life? Why are we supposed to hate our life? And notice he adds in here, in this world. Life in this world is to be considered less than the life in the next one to come. And we need to get that understanding. Life in this world is to be less. And we should expect that aspect less than in the one that is to come. We should value the one to come more than we value the one that we're in. Now that's hard for us because we're people of now. We want my hamburger now. I want my stuff now. I want my cake now. I want it now. We want everything now. And so what's important is now. What I'm feeling now. Am I happy now? We don't think about this later part. We're very much a culture of the now rather than, hey, saving for the future, looking toward the future, looking down the line to something that's greater than the now. The then will be awesome. But life in this world is to be considered less than the life in the next world to come. We make so many decisions in this life, in this world, but Jesus is trying to get us to see the importance of making decisions today that benefit the life in the world to come. The life in the world to come. Are we making decisions based on that or in what is presently here and now? And he says, who hates his life in this world, who loves it less in this world, because he's thinking about eternal life. My decisions that I do things today is because I'm banking on eternal life, not on the life today. I'm not grabbing all the gusto I can today. Get what you can while the getting's good. Sin, it doesn't make any difference. Get all for you. No, 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 no. There's something beyond this life. If we qualify, if we save for, if we move toward, if we live for something different, something more. And then in verse 26, where we wanted to get this morning. If anyone serves me, he says, let him follow me. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. Now I thought it's interesting because I think there's a little bit of a jab at the Greeks here, because the Greeks said, we want to see Jesus. We want to see him. We want to see him perform a miracle. We want to see something that he does. We've heard a lot about it. We'd like to see this guy. The Greeks desired to see Jesus, but Christ lets them know that it was not enough just to see him. They must serve him. It's not enough just to see Jesus. It's not enough just to be a part of something. Jesus wants us to serve Him. Not to just join a club, join a church. Hi, I'm there. My name's here. I show up in a pew. He says, no, it's not just to see or to show up. It's to serve. It's to do something. It's to be involved in the things of the kingdom of God in such a way that we serve the Master. We do what He says at His bidding. Instead of, I'm just here. I'm a part of the club. I've signed up. No. It's about doing here, He says. Not just seeing. Many Christians want to see Jesus, see His miracles, get healed, financially prosper. But followers want to serve Him. Followers want to serve Him. My observation here is this. Following Jesus involves serving. Following Jesus involves serving. Words are cheap. Actions speak louder than words. If you are a follower of Jesus, serve Him. Show me you are a follower by your service, Jesus is saying here. Do we follow Jesus for what He can do for you or for what you can do for Him? Now that's a tough one. Because I know a lot of us, when we come to Jesus Christ, we understand what He can do for us. He can forgive us of our sins. He can clear our guilty conscience. He can give us a future. He can give us a hope. He can give us a vision for something more. He can give us heaven. He can do so much for us. We can pray for a parking spot and something happens. We pray for a person to be healed and something happens. He does so much for us. And I think we get so lost into that He's here for me, but actually we are supposed to be here for Him. The transition song was, it's not a question of what you can do for me, but what can I do for you? What can I do for you, Lord? Even Jesus sets the example. He came not to be served, but to serve. And to follow Jesus, we must have the same servant's heart. A servant's heart. This word serve here, diakoneo, it means to be an attendant, to wait upon. Jesus says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. We can follow him, but we have to be servants. We have to be these, if you will, wait upon. We have to be a waiter, an attendant to wait upon. And it says menial. In the definition here in the Greek, it talks about menial. And menial means lacking interest or dignity. It's not something huge. It's not something expansive. It's not something just, awesome. I want to get in on that. I want to serve there because, wow, your name goes up in lights and look how cool that would be. It talks about this menial, meaning lack of interest or dignity. Dignity. I want the jobs that everybody looks at and goes, wow, aren't you great? I don't want the guy who's digging the latrine. I don't want the guy that's out on a mission trip that has to dig the latrine for... I mean, that doesn't have any dignity to it. That's gross. He's talking about a servant willing to serve, not just to be known because it's all wonderful and doesn't everybody know, but someone who's willing to do it and nobody knows. Nobody knows. I think it's so cool. He's going to lose his reward, but Tyrell helped a single mom work on her car. Had a radiator problem. And I was chatting with her and I asked Curtis, I'm gone this week. Can we get somebody who can help out? And Curtis said, got Tyrell. And Tyrell gladly went over there, fixed this single mom's car. And she can't get around. And it's tough being a single mom trying to raise up the kids and do all that you're doing. And you're doing it all by yourself. And sometimes you need a little bit of help. And wow, thank God for people like Tyrell. Willing to go, yeah, I can go over there. I can go over there. I can fix it. I can make it happen. But you know, if I wouldn't have said it right here, nobody would know. It wasn't some big thing we put on the lights down there. We put on our sign, Tyrell serves single mom. Give him a hurrah. We didn't put it on the sign. We could have. Adam says. We didn't give him a big hurrah. It was just something simple, and it was probably hard, and it took a bunch of time, He had to make it happen. But you know, I bet in Tyrell's heart, his reward was when she looked at him and said, "Gosh, thank you. I don't know what I would have done. I didn't know what I was going to do. But thank you. You've made my life easier. You've made my life easier." A servant. A servant. A waiter. You know, think about waiters. There are good waiters and bad waiters. Have you know that? And there are dumb waiters. A waiter. You know, when you go to a restaurant and a person has that on there, what do you figure he is? He's a waiter, right? He wants you to know, "Hi, I'm here for one reason." And what's that reason?
To wait.
To wait on you. I'm here to wait on you. I am here to make your experience in our establishment exciting. I'm here to make this time fun, energetic, memorable. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to watch you. When you sit down, I watch you. I give you menus, and then I just watch you. And I watch you open up the menus. Then I watch your confusing look, and so I come over there and say, "Can I help you on what you should order?" And I tell you about everything that's on the menu. "Oh, this is good, and that is... I've never tried that, so I don't know." I always ask him, "What do you like here?" And, "Well, what don't you like?" "Well, And so they're there to help you make a decision on what you should order. And then they take your order and they write it down, and then they come back and they give you your drinks and they give you your order, and then they go back and then they watch again. And they watch you. And they realize, wow, you've taken a few drinks out of your water. So they come back and they fill it all back up again. And then you go away and you're talking to someone, and you come back and you go, "Oh my gosh, it was half full and now it's all the way full. How did that happen?" The waiter. I didn't go, "Waiter, I need some more water." No. The waiter saw you. The waiter looked at you. The waiter knew that there was a need. He anticipated needs. And just watched and waited for the right opportunity to go in there stealth and come back. And you don't even know it, but you're feeling joyful glee inside because everything is being provided here for me. And this is a fun experience. And then sometimes they interact with you. I always make them interact with me. I always tell them stories. They tell me stories. We talk about stuff. Where are you from? All this stuff. I like to get to know their name. But they're there to attend to your needs. Not just your needs. They're there to attend to your wants. What do you want? What do you want? That's the word Jesus used about serving him. Be a waiter looking for the needs of somebody else, because you watch, you look, you pray, you intercede, you think, you go beyond yourself. Now the waiter wasn't there going like this. "Hey waiter! Yeah, hey, we'd like to order our food. Hey, just a moment, I'm eating right now. I'll get back to you when I'm done, all right?" Have you ever had a waiter that eats before you do? I'll get right on it. I'm just finishing up a snack here. Dude, I'm your man. He doesn't eat first, does he? He doesn't get his needs taken care of and then move toward you. His whole goal is to move toward you. He thinks of himself last. He thinks of you first. That's what Jesus is trying to get us to understand, what it means to serve him. To serve Christ is to sit and wait. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." But here we are waiting. We're waiting. We're looking. We're anticipating. "Lord, what do you want done? What do you want done? Who do you want to move on? Who do you want touched? Who do you want prayed for? Who do you want me to fix their radiator? What single mom out there has difficulty? What person? What senior? What? Hey, how can we help? What in the community can we do?" That's the idea of being a servant. Well, there's a missions project. There's a thing over in Haiti. There's a thing over in Malawi. There's a thing over in Rwanda. There's a thing over in Ecuador. There's a thing over... I'm a waiter. You see, if you're a Christian, you're a waiter. That's what you are. You're a waiter. We wait on people. We serve people. the king. Waiting, 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 waiting. He goes on to say this then. And where I am, there my servant will be also. Where I am, there my servant will be also. I look at this and I think about where I am. Jesus is saying, where I am, that's where my servant will be. Where are you? I'm over here healing a blind man. Get over here. I'm over here helping out a foreigner. Get over here. I'm over here having a dinner for these new people. Get over here. He's saying, wherever I am, that's where we're supposed to be. Wherever I am. Wherever I am, there my servant will be also. Why? Because we're watching Jesus. We're going wherever he goes. He's over here. I need to get over here. I need to serve. He's over here. I need to get over here. I need to serve. Oh, he's working with that person over here. I need to get there. I move. I move. At the beckoning call of the Spirit of God, being where Jesus would be right then. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If he's there laying down his life, then we're there laying down our life. If he's over there praying for someone, then we're over there praying for someone. If something's happening, and Jesus moves upon us and says, hey, here's where I'm at right now. The servant gets there and then waits upon his Lord. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do, Lord? What do you want me to do? I think also there's a promise here. And where I am, there my servant will be also. Well, where he was is heaven. He's going to heaven. And what he's saying is, there will my servants be also. Oh, you'll be with me there. You'll be with me in paradise. You'll be with me, enjoying a whole new concept called eternal life. Living in a new world, a new heaven, a new Jerusalem. Whatever all that means. But he says this, you'll be there with me because where I am, I take my servants with me. I want to be there. If anyone serves me, he goes on to say, if anyone serves me, and it's about serving Jesus here, if anyone serves me, waits upon me, anticipates my needs, anticipates what I'm doing, looking, watching, looking for opportunity to get involved, if anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. My second point here, those who serve Jesus, God will honor. He honors you. And I'll tell you what, when God honors somebody, it's a good thing. He has a lot of power to honor people. I can honor somebody and all I can do is say, hey, I honor you and shake your hand and do wonderful things, you know, and all that. Jesus, or God, the Father, has mucho. I mean, He can make your life absolutely wonderful. He can honor you in ways you could never dream of. He who serves him, his Father will honor. That word honor, tomeo, means to prize, to fix a valuation upon. It means to be valuable, costly, esteemed, beloved. God honors those who follow and serve him. He will honor those who are willing to die to self and live for him. He'll honor you as you wait upon the Lord. As you wait upon the Lord. God sees our serving of Jesus as costly and honorable and places value on it. Do you understand when you do something? When Tyrell is helping that single mom whom the Lord loves. He loves the people who are in tough situations. And he loves the people who help them do that. And then he values, he honors that person who takes the time to minister to somebody else. In Matthew 25:40 it says this, and the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these my brethren, you did it to me, right? You did it to me. Because remember, we're supposed to serve Jesus. We're serving the servant. It says, whoever serves me, follows me. Okay, we're serving you. And then Jesus does a big switcheroo. It's not just serving Jesus. It's not just whatever you say, Lord. You see, when you serve others, you're serving Him. That's the whole point here. Inasmuch you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. In Matthew verse 45, he says this, then he will answer them saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of these, you didn't do it for me. You didn't do it for me. I think it's entering that second one too. When you are serving the servant, you are serving his people. You're serving others. But what you do for others, you are doing for Jesus. What you neglect to do for others, you are neglecting to do for Jesus. You know, I think we can all think about some of the things that we do. We do this, we do that, we do a number of things. But I wonder about some of the things that we neglect to do. Because when we neglect it, we neglect Jesus. Now, I'm not trying to say that you got to be out and your whole life is about serving everyone. You can't ever, you don't have every time for your family or anything else. That's completely crazy. But how many opportunities go by us in a day that we neglect to move on that may take us 30 seconds, a minute and a half, maybe all of 2 minutes to do? Maybe it's a positive word, an encouraging thing. Maybe God wants to serve somebody by brightening up their day, by saying something positive, by being a blessing, by offering to help. I think the idea of neglecting to do we understand when we neglect Jesus in the process as well. In Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Service was one of Jesus' core values. His core value was to serve. I came as a servant. My core value, the essence of who I am, is a servant. I came to serve all of you. I came to serve you, not to be served. I didn't come and say, hey, I'm here, do all this for me. But when he left, he said, you need to serve me. But you know what? Try out serving the greatest servant of all. It's a hard thing to do. The servant who showed the example, who led the way. I read a book when I came back from this last conference that I was at in Colorado Springs. It's entitled Flipping the Switch, Unleash the Power of Personal Accountability Using the QBQ by John G. Miller. He spoke at the conference, and so I got the book. He had a number of books. I got this one from him. I read it in the plane on the way back, and it was an incredible book. And what I thought was incredible about it was this: flipping the switch, unleashing the power of personal accountability. Personal accountability. What it does when we take personal responsibility for something. And he does this mainly with a lot of businesses, but he also talks about it in your personal life as well. He's a speaker to a lot of major corporations. And I was reading, I thought, wow, that's incredible. Flipping the switch. We can turn it on or turn it off. We can turn personal accountability on, or we can turn personal accountability off in our life. Either you're walking with it going, doot, doot, I'm a personal accountable person, and you walk that way, or you've got it off. I love our grandson Joey. He's quite loud with his voice sometimes. He can be very loud. He loves to talk, and he's got amazing words to share. But he can talk very, very loud. And so we tell Joey, turn on your quiet voice, and he goes, he literally does that. Flip. Then he goes, I love Jesus. And then we go, okay, and you can turn it off now. And he goes, flip. I love Jesus! I just thought it was funny because his parents knew when they tried him to get his inside voice, he just couldn't remember until he did flip the switch. I think some of us also need to flip the switch on personal accountability. On being personal accountable for things around us. And here's what I want to say is that Jesus lived that way. He was the kind of person who was accountable for whatever was going on. By this I mean he said, how can I get involved here and help? He didn't point fingers. He didn't say, you should have, he should have, why didn't you do that? All of these things. He saw a problem and he moved toward it and he flipped the switch on that says, hey, I want to find out what I can do here in this situation. Amazing. So many of us in our life, we're running about so many things, we're just not involved, it's not my deal, we get out of it, or we blame people for everything that happened. And I want to read a couple of things here from this book. Taking personal responsibility or accountability for things instead of pointing fingers when things go wrong. Don't corporations do that? People do that? Families do that? It was your fault, it was his fault, it was that, he should have done that. Why didn't you do this? Instead of saying, why didn't you? Why didn't he? You should have. The person, instead of pointing fingers, takes personal accountability to solve the problem. What can I do? What can I do? Here's a situation. Tyrell, a single mom. Her radiator's busted. He gets a call. Okay, what can I do? I could go over there and see if I can help out somehow. What can I do? What an amazing question. Rather than, you should have, he should have, why didn't he? Taking personal accountability takes away from blame shifting, takes away from complaining, takes away from procrastinating, or playing the victim. Oh, bummer, it takes away all of our cards. That's not fair. The QBQ, the question behind the question. Let me read here. When faced with a problem or frustration, our minds first tend to fill with questions like, why is this happening to me? Or, when will other things go right? These questions are undesirable, but by focusing on everything and everyone except the person asking them, they demonstrate a lack of personal accountability. It's only when we stop and look behind those first questions, behind the questions, the question behind the questions, that we find better questions. QBQs, question behind the question, such as, what can I do and how can I contribute? Or how can I make a difference? Asking these questions turn the focus back to ourselves and to what we can do to make a difference. That's how Jesus lived his life. He lived it by asking the question behind the question and putting himself involved of what he could do into the lives of all the people who had all sorts of problems. What an amazing God. Three easy guidelines that show us how to construct effective questions. And I put them on the board here a little bit for you. QBQs begin with the words, what or how? What can I do? How can I help? Not why, when, or who. Because why questions lead to complaining and victim thinking in, why is this happening to me? When questions lead to procrastination as, when are they going to get back to me? And who questions lead to blame? Who dropped the ball? Secondly, QBQs contain the word I, not they, them, you, because I can change only me. And QBQs always focus on action. What can I do? And I thought, man, that was Jesus all the way. QBQs are, what can I do to help solve the problem? How can I improve my whatever? And he was going into all so many things. We blame somebody. We have a kid in the school, wherever his school may be, and we blame a teacher or something there instead of going, hey, what can I do to help my kid learn better? What can I do in my job to make things run smoother? Asking those questions rather than pointing fingers everywhere. What can I do to help solve the problem? How can I improve my whatever? I can't change the we, but I can change me. And he did an amazing thing as he's speaking to us. He goes, you've heard it said that there's no I in team. He goes, that's crazy. There's as many I's in team as there are team members. Because if you don't have a person taking personal responsibility, we have the administrative we and nothing gets done. We should go and do that sometime. We should. If you always use we, nobody rises to the we. Nobody's the he in we. or the she and we. But when you're I, I'll do that. Tommy was telling me that in his disaster, where they have a, what is it called? A disaster training. Disaster training. That if a person is supposed to call 911, you don't say, "Can somebody call 911? The person in charge goes, "Tommy," or whoever, "Tommy, can you call 911 right now?" You give it to a person. That person knows, "I'm going to go and I'll make it happen." Personal responsibility. Personal responsibility. Jesus was I-focused. He was I-focused. What can I do for others? That consumed his life. Followers of Jesus are I-focused. What can I do for you? How can I help you? How can I make your day brighter? I love interacting with the waiters and trying to make them happy in the day. Make them have a good day. Be fun with them. So that they enjoy waiting on us at a table. And we're a crazy family when you wait on us. I'll share that in just a moment, but he talked about five advantage principles. That we gain an advantage as people, as I people, that take responsibility if we're learners, if we take ownership, if we're creative in solution, if we're service-oriented, and if we build trust amongst people. Jesus did all those. But as I was reading the book and thinking about this message I was going through, I thought, this one about service. This one about service. And he said, doing for others what we don't have to do. Doing for others what we don't have to do. Going the extra. Don't you like it when someone goes the extra mile for you? Makes your day just even that much better. Does more than you even expected. Jesus was that kind of guy. He went the extra mile, and you know what? He encouraged us to do it too. In Matthew 5:41, he says, "And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too." Go an extra mile. Go the extra mile. And what Jesus was talking about here was in that day, the Romans could commandeer anybody to carry a load a mile. You, come over here, pick that up. And you had to go a mile. That's just the way it was. Simon, when he had to carry Jesus' cross, the Romans said, "You, carry his cross." No questions asked. He had to carry it at least 1 mile. And here's what Jesus is saying. You know those Romans you hate? Those boogers? You just don't like them people? You just don't like them at all? Well, when they ask you to carry something 1 mile, carry it 2. When they come up and say, "Okay, you're done," go, no, "I would like to go 1 more mile, please." But don't you hate these Romans? Don't you despise these Romans? Go an extra mile. I'll tell you what. When you go an extra mile with a person like that, and they know they've commandeered you, and they've got you there, and you're done, and you go, no, "I'd really like to go 1 more mile. Do you think the Roman looks at you and goes, "What?" You think that person looks at you and says, "What?" Are there people you just kind of love less in life? Do you have any people like that you kind of like, you love? Christians don't hate, but we love less some folks. I don't hate you, but well, you're on the love less list. Can you imagine a person who's on the love less list? And you know what? Most people on the love less list know that they're on the love less list and know you love them less. Can you imagine when that person, and you do something for them, you go a mile and you help them and they're just kind of grateful for that, and you go, "Oh, no. Let me go an extra mile for you." That love less person who doesn't know Jesus Christ, all of a sudden wonders, "Why are you doing this?" "Oh, because Jesus would want me to. Jesus would always go the extra mile. Jesus would try to add value to your life. Jesus would move toward you. Jesus would care about you. I care about you. I want to be involved in your life. I want you to know that Jesus is awesome. He's amazing. He's wonderful. He's worth serving your whole life to, giving your whole life to." And what he did when I gave him my whole life, he encouraged me to go to an extra mile. for people just like you that I love less. No, you wouldn't say that part. Can you imagine students going home? You're going home for break? Can you imagine if you went home for break like this? Hello, Mom. Hello, Dad. Please, this morning, sleep in. I'm going to create breakfast for you and bring it to you in bed. First of all, they'd have a heart attack. You get the inheritance. It would be done. It would. What do you think they're going to do? Well, for some of you who are giving your life to Christ here and don't know that your parents don't even know you're saved, maybe. And you go home and you're going, you know what? Instead of sleeping in till 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you get up and decide to do the dishes or decide to make breakfast or do the dinner dishes without being asked. Oh my gosh. You know, without being asked, that's the biggie. You're going to do it anyway. Can you imagine doing it without being asked? It's going to happen. You're going to have to do the dishes. But when you do it without being asked, it's like, oh, whoa. It's beautiful. You have the power to have people wonder why you're going the extra mile. Well, Jesus Christ came into my life. He went the extra mile for me, and I gladly go the extra mile for Him. And in the process of going the extra mile, you may gain another follower because they want what's inside you because it looks so good. Followers of Jesus always go the extra mile in service. Question to ask yourself, how can I add value by doing what I don't have to do? How can I add value by doing what I don't have to do? I don't have to do it. I don't have to do it. We had two waiters this week. Carrie went to one of them at the old European. A waiter was there, and we had all the kids there taking Catania there for her birthday. And we had a bunch of grandkids were there. And so the guy came out and said, hey, I want to make special pancakes for the kids and try to make this elephant-looking pancake that didn't look like an elephant. So she's going to be confused for life now. But gave her this, and then the other kids, just all these little things, and he just went the extra mile with them. And then he wrote them all little tickets about, you know, it didn't cost him anything, it was all free, but he gave them all a little ticket, you know, about, okay, they need to learn about this. And so he wrote them all a little ticket, and they gave him all a quarter or something like that as a tip. And my wife gave him double a tip. You know why she gave him a double tip? Because he went the extra mile. We were at Smoky... What's a place over in the mall over there? Smoky Mountain Pizza. We're over there. Michael, our waiter, comes in, and we got the gang again. It's Heidi's birthday, and so we're all there, and everyone's there, kids and everything, and it's a mess. We're all there. He's coming around, and he's taking everybody's order. I never asked him once to get a pop filled, and he must have three times filled mine up. He just walked around, and we told him, oh, we're not ready yet, we're not ready yet. And he just, oh, no problem, no problem. And he just took such good care of us. And then he came in, and the kids were asking for this, that, and the other. He came in, and he brought them these special animal crackers. I don't think they're part of the organization. Oh, Joey told him he was still hungry. He told the waiter, Joey, I'm still hungry. The waiter went and got these cookies and gave them to him. It was so cool. Michael was his name. And I said, you know, Michael, I went back to him. He was back in the back in the kitchen with everybody. I like to go back there with everybody. And I said, Michael, where's your boss? He goes, oh, my boss is over there. I go, boss, I need to tell you that Michael did an outstanding job. He handled all of us that most people would cry and wail and weep. And you know what? He handled it so great. We had such a positive experience. We are so delighted to be here. We are so happy to be here. You made our day today. And you know what Michael said to us? He goes, oh, no, no, no. I was telling my boss about you, about how your kids were so polite and so wonderful and so cute. I was letting them know about you. And I go, wow, there's a guy who adds value to somebody's life. And I told him, I said, hey, Michael, I'm going to have you in the message tomorrow. He goes, oh, good. Don't take my name in vain. It's awesome. It's awesome. Do we? And you know what? We gave Michael a 30% tip. And you know what? I was so excited to give it to him. We were so, you know, as a matter of fact, our wonderful Pat Allen bought us all the meal. I mean, he paid for the whole meal. So the least that I could do was tip. You know, Pat usually tips about 60 or 70%, so I only went 30. But yeah. You know, we made his day. He laughed. He enjoyed. And he knew by our tip that he was special to us too. Going the extra mile. Both ways. He went it. We tried to go it too, but he definitely outblessed us. Going the extra mile. Going the extra mile. Do we serve people? Do we go the extra mile? As a part of our ministry here at Living Faith Fellowship, my heart is that any person who comes into this house, who comes through those doors, would feel served, would feel attended to, would feel value, would feel important. And you know how they do that? By the rest of us here, making them feel that way when they come through those doors. Because they're important to Jesus Christ, they are utmost importance to us. And we want them to enjoy the experience as they come into this house. That person would go the extra mile, show them the love of Christ, to think of how can I add value to that person? How can I show them that the love of Jesus Christ? And we all do that as we reach out to people in this church building and out there other places too. Because it's not just in this house. It's in the big house, the big dance floor that's all out there. Where we go the extra mile to. Our spouse, our roommate, our friend, our boss, our kids, the cashier, the checker, the person at Walmart, the person at the gas station, the person walking down the street. Going the extra mile. Is it our lifestyle? Are you an extra mile person as lifestyle? Because that's what a servant of Jesus would do. He would go. She would go the extra mile. I have something I want to end with here. And I have this serving the servant sheet. I think I've given it to all of you out there. And we can say, oh, yeah, someone else can do it. Or we can say, hey, what can I do? What can I do? All of us should be a part somewhere doing something. So many opportunities here. You could be involved in audio. You could turn me up. You could turn me off. I can still shout though. There's children's church. There's community service needs. We do so many things to the community from Angel Tree, community feedback. Oh, you can read them all here. But Curtis is going to have a table back there about other things we're doing in the community. If you want to sign up for that, go back there at the events table there and sign up for something with him. He'll talk to you more about all the local things we're doing in our community for benevolence to help the needy here. Maybe it's custodial or greeters because you have a warm smile or working on grounds or hospitality or the radio station. We need folks there or lighting in this building. Maintenance and repair, marketing, missions. Want to go on a trip. Want to be involved in the missions department. Maybe it's nurseries, helping out with kids. Pullman Christian School. We need people. We need teachers that will come in and volunteer on an expertise that they have for just maybe a day or an hour or so a week. What about ushers? We need so many ushers. We need a bunch of ushers. If you're thinking they're going, well, I could do something, sign up to be an usher. It's just why you're here. Maybe driving a van, picking up people, vehicle maintenance. Maybe it's video because you've got a special talent there. Or maybe you're good on the web. We need a web team and development there. Or maybe it's worship because that's your heart. Or maybe it's working with the youth group. There are so many things here. Would you please do that for me? Whether you're currently serving, sign me up for it, or I'd like more information, fill these out. And I would really like to get your name, your cell number, and your email. We send so many things out by email. I'd like to get a hold of you. Even if you're not going to sign up for anything, at least give me your name and stuff so I can put you on that list. We had an emergency because of the snow that was happening. We had to cancel a meeting for CCF. We can easily do it by text if we just zip it and we can get it to everybody very quickly if we have an emergency. So we'd appreciate your cell number, appreciate your email, appreciate that husband and wife would do these separately. And then here's what I want you to do with them. When you're done, I want you to just to bring the forms and just lay them here on the platform. Lay them up here. Because it's a part of your ministry. It's a part of your service. It's a part of your acknowledgement with God. And I want to do something for you and your kingdom and for your people. Just fill them out. Just throw them here on the altar. We'll collect them all. We'll get back to you on those things if you need help or would like to be involved in something. We'll get back to you on those. Jesus was the servant of all. Jesus tells us that we must serve Him. And we serve Him by serving others. Folks, we can make such a great impact in our community, in people's lives, if we're willing to be servants, to wait, to look, to anticipate, to add value by a kind word, a warm gesture, something that doesn't take much, can add so much value to a world that sees only its darkness. Let us truly be the light of Jesus Christ. Let me pray. Father, thank you for this time, and I pray, help us, Lord, as we serve. As we serve you, as we follow you by serving you, Lord, and we serve you by waiting upon the people of this world who need to know there's a God in heaven that loves them, that's willing to serve them, and we get to be that representation. Help us, Lord. We love you, we bless you, and we thank you. And I pray, Lord, for all the people out here that will sign up for something. Let them know, Lord, that you honor them. You honor them as they serve. Honor us, Lord, as we give our lives away in service to our King. Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you need prayer for something, come up here. There'll be people to pray for you. If you want to accept Jesus Christ, come up here. They'll pray for you. And please fill out those lists. Drop them up here on the altar as an expression of your heart, saying, "Lord Jesus, I am serving you." God bless you guys. I love you tons. Be dismissed.